I do wish you, I will not be so corny as to say Happy New Year. Everybody says Happy New Year. I will simply say an old Irish greeting. May the road rise to meet you, and may the wind be ever at your back. Good evening, Mr. Allard, and I do enjoy you so much.
Thank you so much, and good night to you, and talk to you hopefully, well, rather shortly into the new year of 1979.
I think I'm going to go where it's warm.
I don't blame you. Don't blame you. Okay, gotta
good
go.
Evening.
Good night. All right, that leaves the line open for you if you want to grab it. 375-1200. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Bob?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Okay, well, I want to talk to you about something. Earlier, you had communication with a lady who said how beautiful the movie Superman was.
Uh-huh.
And that's fine. I think that's terrific. But what I'm criticizing, not her or you or anybody else, I'm very, very curious as to what is a critic. For example, Gene Shalit on Channel 5 in the morning on Today Show ripped the movie apart. Genuinely ripped it apart.
He did.
Oh, yes. But on Channel 9, Rhoda Barrett praised the movie. Now, my question is, what constitutes a critic? And where do they arrive at? And where are they from? And what is their expertise? And where do they, you know, genuinely arrive at these conclusions and opinions? And how can channel, not reference to channels of television,
but
Rhoda Barrett or Gene Shalit, I'm not referring to them individually, but I say, why do they have the right, one to demote and one to promote?
Well, obviously, freedom of expression and so forth, that's obvious,
granted.
And I suppose difference of opinion. Simply a difference
of
opinion.
Yes, difference of opinion. Understandable. But,
that Superman movie, now, I have not seen it,
I
and I'm really, nor am I a great movie buff, but there's a possibility, who knows, I have a feeling that there's a possibility that Superman movie may go down as maybe a minor classic.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, because I saw the advertisements on it, and Glenn Ford is in it, and Gene Hackman, and there's quite a few fine stars in there.
Uh-huh. By the way, just offhand, since you've seen a few movies in your lifetime,
oh, yes.
you sound to be in your 30s?
40s? Oh, no. Negative 50.
50. 50, my goodness.
Oh, yes.
Have a younger voice.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bless you.
All right. Can you remember offhand just about the worst movie you've ever seen?
The very worst?
The very worst.
I've witnessed in my life. Well, to be... Let's see. You have to give me a second here to contemplate, because I do, and I have seen numerous flicks in my life. I mean, real fine films. And then I guess I've seen in my estimation, in other words, I'm not criticizing it, but what I'd estimate, I think you mean as critical of what film I've seen, or a picture that I was mistaken, or I should not have gone to see.
Yeah, it seems to me that many, many, many years ago, and it was just about this time of the year, think it was sitting up, you know, late one night, watching television, which I fortunately never do anymore, but it was absolutely the worst movie I'd ever seen. It was some sort of a musical of some sort with a bunch of midgets.
Bunch
of midgets trying to sing opera. And it was absolutely incredibly bad.
Well, you see, now I didn't see it. Darn it.
I think another one.
I wish I would have seen it.
I think another one that had to go into contention for one of the worst movies ever made was one that they put out, was made back in about 1937. What was it called? Marijuana Madness or Reefer Madness?
I never saw that.
It was so bad. It was funny. And of course, apparently that movie in the last handful of years has been enjoying a certain amount of campy popularity among younger people because it deals with the marijuana subject.
Well, maybe it's a humorous thing of ethics in the teens or 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know.
But it was bad. It was bad.
Well, let's see now. A movie that I did not care for Well, really, and I don't think I'd ever go back to see it again. That's very difficult for me to say because you've pinpointed me there because I do not, when I go to a movie, I don't go to a movie sight unseen or unheard of or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to express that to you. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, yes, I know what you're saying.
My gosh. Okay, you know what I used to like a lot when I was a kid? The old Tom Mix and cereals.
Yeah.
Regardless,
yeah.
I know you never saw I never seen the end of any one of them.
I know that there is a... I've seen a bunch of them because many, many, many years ago, more than I really care to admit, when I was working for a television station down in Iowa, I had a job there. It was back in the 50s, I guess.
Sure.
And I was dressed as an old desert rat type of character, and I talked...
Really?
Yeah, and I talked with a very strange voice that I could not do that voice today. Somehow the voice doesn't get up there anymore. And, hey there, boys and girls. And all
those, what is that called? That's a stage voice.
Yeah, old Cactus Jim. And we would run. I had an afternoon show, as I recall, and we would run these. We would run these serials a chapter at a time. And I remember there was one that was extremely popular. And every once in a while, we would rerun it.
What was that?
And it was a Gene.
Tom Mix.
No, this was Gene Autry in this case.
Really?
Gene Autry, and it was done back in the 30s, of course. And
yeah, serials.
Oh yeah, and it was something about an underground city in the future, you know.
Well, wasn't that with his sidekick? Wasn't Gene Autry's sidekick Pat Buttram?
That could be, but in this case, there was no Pat Buttram. It was something, I'm pretty sure it was Gene Autry, and it was all by himself, pretty much, as I remember. And I don't remember the title of the serials.
Well, see...
But it was the underground city of something or other.
Okay, that... Well, okay. Now, you must have seen Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers in those days.
Maybe a few, maybe
you
a
know,
few.
You know, at the theater. There was no television.
Yeah. I know. I know that there was also one, let's see, there was one very, very old, going back into the mid or the early 30s, a serial that I ran once on television, with a very, very, that young feller, Johnny Wayne.
John Wayne?
Johnny Wayne, yeah, when he was first starting out. And he made a few of those serials.
I saw that on Channel 2.
Yeah, and
on
this...
On Channel 2 I saw that.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. He was so young, and he was jumping from car to car and crashing with cars.
Could well be. In this case, they had him cast as a pilot.
Oh, an airline or a
It was a desert type of situation. He was down in the desert, you know, and he was fighting these Arabs and these other people who were trying to get to him and so forth. And a very, very young, very thin Johnny Wayne.
Robert, you are amusing. No, this is good for you. It's good to let your heart roll and your laughter exuberance. Regardless of the situation of the world, God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I want to bid you adieu.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you much, and same to you, sir, and a Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year.
When you suffer flare-ups of acid indigestion and heartburn, get relief with Chews Chewing Gum Antacid, C-H-O-O-Z. Chews is the only antacid in pleasant-tasting chewing gum form. Chews is medicine to relieve your heartburn, sour stomach. It's chewing gum to freshen your breath. Packets of 10 and 20 gum tablets. Remember, Chews does both. Relieves acid indigestion as it freshens your breath. Follow label directions. Change to Chews Chewing Gum Antacid.
I'm chewing gum again. Big deal? It is to me. I had to give up gum because it stuck to my dental work. But with Freedent Gum from Wrigley's, I can enjoy chewing gum again. It doesn't stick. Fact is, until I found Freedent, I'd forgotten how fresh and clean my mouth and breath could feel anytime. Freedent in peppermint and spearmint. You'll like it.
Feel free to chew Freedent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Freedent gum.
Well, we're back, and I see we're about 2 minutes away from the 10 o'clock news. I suppose I really shouldn't push any buttons here, but I don't really feel that ad-libby tonight. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm curious, and more than curious, I'm amazed at the fanatical attitude non-religious people take. The thing that bothers me is, why don't they just go their way? They don't have to be religious or bother people who are.
Well,
I can't understand the fanaticism. about it.
Well, fanaticism in terms of what? Do you want to tell me exactly what you're talking about?
Well, they get so hostile just talking about it, and then they rave about the fact that churches don't pay taxes.
Mm, yes, I do mention that every once in a while. I suppose you'd include me as one of those fanatics.
Well, if you rave about it. But the point is that there are a lot of other things that aren't taxed. For instance, municipal bonds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And only the rich can handle them.
Well,
and besides that, they get interest.
As I say sometimes, I think taxes should be taxed. Churches should have a certain amount of taxation against them, the same as any other business.
Well,
any
what about
other business?
Municipal bonds?
Well, that has no relationship, of course, to churches. That is not the issue. Not the issue.
The issue is who pays taxes.
Mm-hmm. And who doesn't?
If, churches must be taxed, then municipal bonds must be taxed.
Well, no, not necessarily. But be that as it may, I wish you the very best of the holiday season.
Well, you don't like that subject, do you?
Right now, the theme's coming up behind us. We've got to make way for the 10 o'clock news. Good night. And she did. They are always delightfully out there, delightfully out there. 375, 1200, the lines are full. WWTC, Minneapolis and St. Paul, 12 degrees, 10 o'clock news next.
NBC Radio News. I'm Henry Marcotte. Martial law is in effect in Ankara, Istanbul, and most other major cities in Turkey. The strict security precautions were taken in an attempt to end street fighting between right and left-wing groups that has left over 90 people dead in the past 3 days. In neighboring Iran, there are reports tonight that the Shah is preparing to make an accommodation with his opponents, which would reduce the powers of his position but keep the Shah as a figurehead. Correspondent Jim Bitterman was asked about possible reaction.
The Shah is, of course, a very controversial figure here, and opposition leaders up to this point have been saying that they would not agree to participate in any kind of government in which the Shah was still in the position that he's in. They want the Shah out definitely before they would be willing to form a new government. Now, this plan might be enough to sway some of the opposition leaders, especially if they see one of their numbers, Mr. Siddiqui, making a deal and they being left out in the cold.
Bitterman says there have been rumors of such an arrangement between the Shah and opposition leaders for several weeks, but the exact mechanics of how it would be carried out are still unclear. I'll have more news after this.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum says hello.
The fresh, lively taste of Wrigley's Spearmint is a great way to say hello.
Try sharing some Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. You're gonna like the way it says hello.
Everybody likes it. That's why it's a great way to say hello.
Everyone likes the way it says hello. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. We all like the way it says hello.
Well, it's that time of year again. It's time to shop, go to parties, watch the kids' faces, and get writer's cramp addressing your holiday cards. And it's time to use lots of Christmas seals on your holiday gifts and mail. Hi, this is Bob Newhart. And there's one more thing about Christmas seals. They help your lung association fight for our good health all year round against lung disease, smoking, and air pollution. Help make this a happier, healthier new year with a quick and generous answer to your Christmas seal letter. Remember, your lung association cares about every breath we take.
Authorities in Des Plaines, Illinois, will resume the grisly search tomorrow of the home of a suspected mass killer. 5 bodies have already been recovered, and they believe as many as 32 sex crime victims may be eventually found. But as Bob Roberts reports, they may never be identified.
Investigators say they've received calls about the bodies being found in, around, and beneath the home of suburban Chicago contractor John Wayne Gacy from as far away as England, Canada, and Australia. Police say Dennis will have to identify the skeletons of the victims, since so little else has been found so far in the crawl space beneath Gacy's home. They believe some of the victims will never be identified. While evidence technicians work at Gacy's home, investigators will also fan out along the Kankakee and Des Plaines rivers south and southwest of Chicago, where Gacy allegedly admitted dumping some victims. Gacy is being held without bond in Chicago's Cook County Jail Hospital, undergoing treatment for a heart ailment. Bob Roberts, NBC News, Chicago.
Police arrested 4 people dressed as Santa Claus for trespassing at the Pilgrim Atomic Power Plant at Plymouth, Massachusetts today. They were members of the Reindeer Alliance, an anti-nuclear group. In Seattle, Washington, two anti-nuclear demonstrators were reportedly arrested for trespassing at a naval construction base. You're listening to NBC News.
Who says Christmas is over after December 25th? Football fans, the best is yet to come. Hi, I'm Jack O'Rourke, reminding you that December 31st, NBC Radio will be bringing you the 1978 Bluebonnet Bowl direct from the Houston, Texas Astrodome. It's the 20th anniversary of this sports classic, and if this year is anything like last year when Southern Cal and Texas A&M combined to tie or break 39 bowl records, I tell you, I wouldn't miss it.
Speaking of football classics, Jack, how about the 1979 Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all? I'm Bob Buck, and I'll be right here New Year's Day to bring our NBC Radio listeners exclusive play-by-play coverage.
Okay, Gridiron fans, mark the dates. December 31st for the Bluebonnet Bowl, January 1st for the Rose Bowl, both exclusively on NBC Radio.
Thieves entered a museum in San Francisco through a skylight early today and made off with four paintings by Dutch masters. They include Rembrandt's Portrait of the Rabbi. The four works are valued at $1 million. Appealing for world peace and respect for human life, Pope John Paul II spoke in 25 languages today, one of them English.
A blessed Christmas in the joy and peace of Christ.
Despite a steady drizzle, the pontiff was cheered by a crowd of more than 50,000 people in Vatican Square. President Carter and his family will travel from Plains, Georgia to Camp David tomorrow. Mr. Carter's Christmas predictions today include eventual peace in the Middle East. The Hour's lead story, the Turkish government has declared martial law in a dozen major cities in an effort to end street fighting between left and right-wing groups that has killed more than 90 people in the past 3 days. Henry Marcotte, NBC News.
Out there, believe me, they're going to be out there. 375-1200 is our number. We may have one line for you, and we're going into this next hour, big full hour of open session. It's our Monday evening, Christmas night edition of TC Talk. I'm Bob Allard. Those of you who want to get on board might well do so. A bit of Hubert Humphrey coming up in the final hour ahead. Hello.
Mr. Allard.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. I suppose in response to the lady who called previously, I should say, bah humbug.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're conducting a poll, but I'd suggest just about any motion picture made by Cecil B. DeMille.
Would be a bad one?
Yes.
Hmm. Surprised to hear you say that. It's almost un-American.
I guess what I called about is last week, and I guess you'd call me a-religious. A gentleman called up and was very upset about your position on religion in school, and I concur with that. I believe, with an editorial, I think it was in this morning's paper, it might have been this evening's, the gentleman well stated it, that prohibiting religious activity in the schools is really an expression of religious freedom.
Right.
And it, in fact, reinforces the religious freedom of religious people. However, he did make a point, I thought, with me, that was either unheard or skipped over, in that the schools, it's all right to teach evolution. And his response was, well, that also was an act of faith, and I guess I got to concur with that view. I would like to see, perhaps, a course in school like religion or the world's great religions, and probably go into how they were founded, et cetera, et cetera, and include in that evolution. Also included in it would be spontaneous creation, because there's a whole lot of people of science that don't agree. Rachel Carson comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you'd go along with that at all.
Not necessarily. Incidentally, we did a program on that. I think it was on the 28th of September,
as I recall.
It was with a gentleman named George Saxonmeyer. Maybe the name might be familiar to you. I don't know. George Saxonmeyer is a gentleman of about 40 thereabouts. late 30s, who gets him in the news every once in a while because he is a creationist and he is quite busy from time to time in St. Paul, buttonholing legislators, trying to get them to introduce bills that would make it mandatory or some such to teach what he calls scientific creationism in the public schools. And so we had it out one night. He was up here for the full 3.5 hours. We also had some Dr. Norman Kerr, I believe, from the biology department at the University of Minnesota. And frankly, Mr. Saxonmeyer came out kind of badly, because apparently it's still simply another attempt to get some sort of religious-based article of faith into the public schools, where it simply is not going to be.
Well, wouldn't it be fair to have a course in religion, analysis of...
Possibly so. Yeah. I'd have no objection to that at all. That's intellectual freedom, intellectual stimulation. Might give you some, might give the school board some headaches and problems and how to teach it.
Well, couldn't evolution be considered also an act of faith? It certainly is a controversial thing.
What do the scientists have to say?
Rachel Carlson, in her research, I think it was in the Sea Around Us, pointed out a lot of things that she observed which would negate the possibility of cause and effect in evolution. Of course, never finding a missing link. There's a whole lot of things that do point to controversy. In fact, I'd consider evolution a comfortable thing to live with.
Yeah.
And much the same as a strict interpretation of the Bible, people. It's comfortable. It's an easy way to go.
Yeah, I fully understand. Fully understand.
Well, okay. I was hoping for an argument.
No, not particularly. I'm not really in an argumentative mood tonight, although that could change instantly. You never know. But, you know, not necessarily.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Well, I certainly enjoy your show and hope you're out for a good long time.
Well, thank you very, very much. Nice to hear from you, and let's pick up the interesting thread of conversation on that subject, perhaps, and a few others, somewhat later in the year of 1979.
All right, this is your late night carpenter signing off.
Okay, good night. Late night carpenter signing off and sailing in. Let's move ahead. It's now about 11 minutes past the hour of 10, 375, 1200, a couple of lines available for you. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to wish the real blessings of the day to you and yours and all of the rest of us who are out here in Radioland. I got a card from some friends a little older than we are. They've retired and gone down to Florida. And you know what? One of the things a lot of the people down in Florida, the older senior citizens, are getting?
No. No.
Tricycles.
Tricycles.
Yes. Had you heard that?
No, I know they've had that type of contraption on the market for a number of years, generally for elderly people, because they don't have any balance problem.
Yeah.
You know, for sort of a safe, easy way of getting around short distances.
Well, it you know, as we become older, sometimes we become, they say we revert to our childhood, and I thought this was rather a interesting sideline of that particular thing that... It would almost make a good lobster question, but I've blown that one now. But I wanted to also say one of the films that I really thought was a good one, and by the way, as far as that Superman, I think the reason people would become attracted to that is that they're looking for some kind of a fantasy to, or some kind of a hero to extricate us from our horrendous problems that we have facing us as a society. And I think perhaps my two sons are going and seeing that picture tonight. They're not home yet, so I can't give any first-hand report from them. But a good film, and I like to. I guess one of the things I'm going to make as far as a New Year's resolution is try to dwell on the things that are good. And yet, as being a critic and you being a teacher, you know that you can only have a learning process going on when you're critical. So I don't think there's anything wrong with criticism per se, as long as it is constructive. But one of the best films that I ever saw, and I don't know if you, I'm quite sure you must have seen it, is Ben-Hur.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That was, that to me was, it's been, I think...
I take it that you're talking about the contemporary one, not the first one that was made way back when.
Yeah, I'm talking the one with Charlton Heston.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on television, I think, even a couple of times, and we saw it many years ago, it was down at the Academy Theater, I think, when we first saw it, if I remember correctly.
You say that you saw it many times?
Well, I saw it once at the Academy, and then we went to a drive-in theater, mm-hmm. and of course it was nowhere near as good seeing it there, but but then the last two times, I think I've seen it on television, so I guess if you wait long enough, the good things come around.
Yeah, what was there about that movie that you especially liked, Ben?
Well, I liked the, even as with, say, with Superman, I'm sure you've got the good prevailing. And the whole strain or the carry through from the Ben-Hur was that the right prevails. And now I'm not speaking politically, of course, but that which is correct and true will last, and that which is false and built up on false premises will be, you take that Masala with all of the chicanery that he entered into to try to destroy Ben-Hur and his family.
Mm-hmm.
His demise came, and I guess nobody could really feel too bad that scallywag was done in that chariot race, which was one of the, I guess, one of the greatest portrayals or in cinema history. And then, of course, the ultimate, the spirituality is there, the healing of the mother, or was this, let's see, was it Ben-Hur's mother and sister both, or at least one of them had gotten leprosy and had been relegated to this land of the lepers, as it were, and at the passing of Christ, she was miraculously healed, and this kind of, I don't know, it tugs at your heartstrings, and I guess nobody wants anybody to suffer and even die physically, but I think a lot of the healing, and it's people that want to be healed, they will be healed. I guess it was I was looking in the paper even just before I. Well, before I was calling you, I was looking over, I think, Sunday's paper, which I hadn't looked at, and it said that people that have cancer, they have them draw some pictures of what they're...
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yes.
Yeah, and ones that...
those who are, generally speaking, those who drew pictures that would indicate to the skilled observer, the psychologist, that maybe they were on the happy, optimistic side, or at least optimistic, stood a much greater chance of being healed than those who had it in their mind that what they had was terminal, that there was no hope at all, and of course their pictures reflected that, and the mortality rate among that second group is rather high. And I judged, apparently, my impression was that both that all of these cancer patients were about to the same degree of seriousness with their disease.
It seems that way, and and that's why I think that some of these, and I'm not speaking against these so-called faith healers, but I think a lot of them are things that are occurring would have occurred anywhere way if people would begin to take a hold and believe that they could be well, that they wanted to be well, and if a person wants to be sick, they're pretty much going to be sick, I think, and that's I think you really the sun shines on both the just and the unjust, as it were, and the rain falls, and we're but it depends on what we are going to do with it and make of it. I think the will to live is important, and that is one thing that I, as much as I was in disagreement with Hubert Humphrey, I'll say that he had a real desire to live, and he was an outgoing person and had a tremendous amount of popularity, of course, and I can't agree with him hardly at all politically, but I admire his tenacity and wanting to hold on, and even in the terminal stages of his illness, he still sought to hang in there, and
well, we're going to hear that.
I'm going to sort of. I hope I can stay awake to listen to it, Bob. I know I'll try to call back later another time.
Yeah, we'll be playing that tape shortly after 11:15.
Yeah. Well, we don't wish ill toward anyone, and of course he's passed on now, but everyone, I think if we hang in there and give it our best and stick with what we believe to be right, then things will get better.
Okay, at that point, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Hopefully it was a very happy day.
It has been, and thanks, Bob.
Best of the Christmas and the holiday season. Good night, and thanks again for calling. An old familiar voice, so we get some of the familiar ones tonight. A lot of new voices calling in, which is just fine. 375-1200, the line's kind of busy. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Bob. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I'm a citizen of Iran, and I feel compelled to call and explain a few things because of the situation back there. First of all, I'm...